Thank you so much.
That's it. I thought he was on the phone and he goes, "It's Dallas," and the whole room explodes.
Yeah, he did say it's Dallas.
Let me hear it again.
Go, go. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Did you hear "It's Dallas" in your headphones?
Yeah, is that not what was said in the background? It's Dallas, and they
no,
all
he's saying it. He's on the phone.
Yeah, no, I have the clip right here.
Okay. This is on Instagram, Dallas Cowboys, all that.
Yeah, Twitter.
Okay.
Maybe well, I got the wrong one.
It's the Cowboys draft pick, right?
Yeah, this is Guyton.
Okay. You know what? This is a Wheels Off Friday anyway. No, everyone's on no sleep. There's not going to be any call-outs. But because it's going to be Wheels Off, I'm just going to go ahead and play it off my phone. I'm going to play it on my phone.
Oh, my God, this is great.
And see if this comes across better, and maybe PayPay will end up being correct. Okay, here we go. This is
why did he say that?
Tyler Guyton. People were doing that last night as well, pluckers. Okay, here we go. Let's see if this plays over the mic. I doubt it. Now, okay. how did you not get that?
So I must have grabbed the wrong one then.
What wrong one? The wrong player?
No, it's Guyton. It's Guyton on there. It's just someone in the background said, "It's Dallas," and they all cheer. That's what I took it
for. Yeah, AJ Guyton.
Yeah, AJ Guyton.
All right. Good morning, Metroplex. 6 a.m. club with you as the Cowboys have their new player. Bobby, you loved what they did.
I did. To me, you've gotta. I was completely comfortable losing Guyton and Barton if you traded down. I was completely losing every player that you had in mind. You wanted four different guys. You lost all four. I'm fine with it, to be honest.
Really?
Because you need to move down. You need capital. Yep. This team's not spending, and you have to replenish this roster somehow. If you want to be even remotely competitive, you need four or five picks in the first 100. And
yeah,
so,
but you want to move down for someone that you've honed in on. You don't want to do all this work and then say, "We like these four," and then get your fifth.
Sure, but they clearly at this point, they said, "We don't have any first-round grades left." I don't believe Tyler Guyton was a first-round grade for them. I believe he was a second.
Steven said they had 15 first-round grades, and they all got drafted.
So they were talking about a high second-round pick.
Yeah.
So if you tell me I can
You're tiered at that point, and they're like, okay.
If you told me I can have a high second-round pick and two third-round graded players, for instance, or you tell me I can move back, miss that person, get four different draft picks, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at having three second-round picks and a third in terms of the players I've graded, that to me, even if it's not a high second-round pick, the discrepancy between high second-round pick and three mid-second-round picks to me is not enough of one to pitch a fit over. That's what I couldn't understand last night about. I sat here and told you guys I wanted Barton. But, like, to me, it was like, I want capital more. Like, I want to be able, and if they were comfortable enough, the way that they evaluate offensive line, historically, if they were comfortable enough to say, we'll walk away from Graham Barton because we want the picks more, then you don't love him enough to tell me that, well, we just can't trade out of this.
Right.
I don't think they would have traded out of this. If Troy Fatanu didn't get drafted by Pittsburgh at 20, if he would have been there, I don't think they trade. I think that was somebody they had a first-round grade on. And so that was one that I think was tough for them.
I mean, look, the process, their plan of, like, trading down, and I think what happened, I think we're all kind of looking at it the same way. They had hit a tier where they're like, all right, there's a bunch of guys in this tier of player. It may not be individually ranked the way we were wanting it to, but if we drop down a player or two, they're on the same tier. We're just like, we're circumcised and mosquitoes, as Jerry would say. So let's pick up the extra top 100 pick, and let's just take another player. And it's just another dart, and it's the same size dart, and the weight of the dart's the same. And if he hits, he hits. If he doesn't, look, we still could go to sleep tomorrow knowing that we did the right thing.
Yeah, even if they lost him, I would have been fine with it. But they
didn't. There was corners on the board. They could have taken one of them.
Yeah, they didn't lose him, and they would have taken him at 24. Like they would have been comfortable taking it. If they wouldn't have been able to bail out, and I think they would have probably leaned Barton over Guyton if they were sitting there and both picks were there. But it's close enough that if Barton hadn't been there, they would have taken – I think they absolutely would have taken it. And I'll tell you what, I think Mike Solari, even if Barton is on the board, is probably pounding the table and saying, give me the tackle, not the center. Because I think he believes Brock Hoffman can start right now. And so he views it as redundant. And so
you had texted us early on in the night that the sense you're getting is trade down.
I know we had heard walking in there last night, 80% chance they were trading down.
Oh, wow.
So they were looking for it. They were looking for it, and that's honestly what you need to do. If you cannot, if you're telling me you can't sign anybody, you're literally telling me that, believe it or not, if you're literally telling me you are so handcuffed that you can't sign players to $3 million contracts, okay, well then I need all the cheap, like, good talent I can find. If you want the scouting staff to pull a rabbit out of their head, Jason Witten style, if you want them to do that, then you need to give them enough capital to where they can do it for you.
This could be deliriousness from the entire week. Something about Detroit got involved, had a better offer, but they got involved too late. Am I misremembering that?
Detroit did make the trade with them.
Detroit made the trade. Okay.
Yeah, Detroit overpaid.
They should have gotten the fourth, right?
If you look at the trade value chart, or like a high fourth, but I mean, obviously Detroit doesn't have that. But I mean,
they give a high third.
Jumping up, it was like a mid third. Yeah, so if you jump up five spots for a mid third back into the first round, I was completely fine if they wanted to trade again. They were on the phone working the phones for a trade at 29 too, but they ultimately said no. We'll stand in here and pick because they didn't get the right value for it. But no, that was. It's great value for it. You're now picking four times in the top 100. That you, losing that fourth round pick doesn't sting nearly as bad. Still would probably rather have a fourth round pick than Trey Lance at this point. But they are in a position to at least replenish the talent pool a little bit now. And there was a concern that they didn't have enough darts, like you said, to be able to do that.
Tell us about the player.
So he is, I mean, if you want to talk about like built in a lab, like the way somebody looks like, you know, build me the most freakish looking tackle you can, it would look like Tyler Guyton. He is incredibly raw. Like, there's still a lot of times where you watch him and you're just like, he's still figuring out how to use his length. He's still figuring out how to use his hands. But man, he is great instincts, mauler mentality. It is honestly, it's very similar to where Tyler Smith was at when they picked him. And I'll even go further and say Tyler Smith, I don't think, was as far along in the process as Guyton is right now. So Guyton is more advanced than Tyler Smith was when they picked him. I still would be interested.
Is this an instant starter?
No, and see, I loved last night. People were blowing up my Twitter mentions late last night as I was going to bed. People saying, ooh, hot mic. Heard you on the hot mic there at the end of the draft. It's like, that was going to be the first line in my prep email. Was, I don't know, I'm going to be interested to see if Guyton starts year one. To me, Tyler Smith does not start in 2022 unless Tyron Smith gets hurt. I mean, do you remember we were all talking about why in the world is Connor McGovern getting all the snaps at guard? I thought they wanted Tyler Smith to get these snaps. Mm-hmm. Why is he not immediately plug and play? And he was only plug and play once they lost Tyron,
right?
Because they didn't want to put all that trust in a rookie right away. And so I wonder, with a guy who's raw, even if he's more advanced than I think Tyler Smith was coming out of school, with a guy who's raw, do you want to put your jobs on the line in the hands of a rookie right away? I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl player at tackle. It's just he might take a little bit of time. So I don't know that he's going to be plug and play necessarily, but he doesn't have to be, in my opinion.
All right, let me go 0-2 this morning with my memory. Was this the one Wolchuk was saying yesterday in the preview that he was not high on?
He is not as high on Guyton.
Least want.
Out of the trio we were talking about of like Fatanu, Barton, Guyton, he was not as high on Guyton. But Brian really likes Guyton. I really like Guyton. Guyton, I mean, I had him when I was driving in and I heard you say where Dane had, I had him the exact same spot Dane did. He was player 24 for me. So, I mean, that was right where you were picking. He made sense. There's a lot of people who rave about him. He comes on, he immediately drops an F-bomb on Zach Wolchuk when we're interviewing him after the pick. But that's a guy who is all the tools, all the traits. They have shown consistently. If you look over the last couple of years and you think, who are the traits guys that they've picked? Like, who are the guys who it's like, well, the upside's there. How much of a true football player are they? And you think back and you go, okay, Tyler Smith, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, like they've hit on the guys who they know They've got a pretty good track record of figuring out which guys have the capacity to put it together and which guys don't. And so Guyton, to me, I felt good about his ability to put it together. Now I feel great about his ability to put it together, knowing that the scouting staff that works on him and evaluates him and sees what the work ethic is and how he takes coaching, that they evaluated and said, yes, we will spend a first-round pick on this.
One of the benefits of being the Dallas Cowboys radio network and the home of America's team is we get the secret audio first, and we get the first interview. In the 13, 14 years we've been doing this,
yep,
we always get those draft picks on the line first. So here is your brand-new offensive lineman, his first radio interview in DFW with our team, Zach Wilczek, Bobby, and the others, Bobby and everybody, last night.
Tyler, welcome to the Dallas Cowboys, man. How you feeling after getting that call from Jerry?
I'm ecstatic, bro. I couldn't be more happy. This is my home, my hometown team. This is the best team for me my whole entire life. I couldn't have wrote it any better way, man.
Well, how much interaction did you have there with the Cowboys? Did you have a feeling maybe you would end up playing with the star on your helmet?
I was dreaming about it, man. I saw it, and it kind of was happening, and I was meeting with them at the Senior Bowl and the Combine, and I didn't go on a 30 visit because they already knew me. I was talking to the O-line coach a bunch of my pro day. I kind of had a feeling that I might go to Dallas. I just didn't know who would take me before, but I'm so glad it was Dallas, bro.
Man, we're excited to have you. Of course, the Cowboys have a great history of taking first-round linemen. We're hoping you fall right in line with that. For Cowboy fans that maybe aren't familiar with your game, how would you describe what they're getting with Tyler Guyton now?
You're getting a player that really loves football and loves to compete and loves the Dallas Cowboys, and I'll do anything for this star on my helmet now. I can't even put into words how appreciative I am of the Dallas Cowboys drafting me and the fans welcoming me with open arms. I'm going to do everything in my power to make this team better.
Tyler, walk me through the scene at your home there in Austin. Were y'all kind of sitting on pins and needles, hoping it would be Dallas? And then whenever you got the call, what was that moment like?
Man, we were sitting on pins and needles for sure. Dallas was the dream. Dallas was the dream, but we didn't know who else was going to pick. But we were ecstatic when we heard that phone call.
Yeah.
It was like a dream come true.
Yeah, what's the story with your dad? Everybody was talking about your dad. Your dad a huge Cowboys fan, too? What was the story?
My dad is a diehard Cowboys fan. He made me a Cowboys fan as soon as I was born.
Man, that is awesome. Tyler,
we're so excited.
Man, we really, really are excited to have you here as a Dallas Cowboy. What do you think the first order of business will be for you once you get here when you talk to Coach Mike Solari?
Getting down to the playbook, man. I want to get down and dirty. I want to put some work in. This is what it's for. Getting drafted is amazing, but it's time to get to it.
What type of kid is he supposed to be, Bobby?
Oh, he's supposed to be like the same sort of stuff we heard about Tyler Smith, where it's like, oh, this is a hard worker, very charismatic kid, takes to coaching well, takes to instruction well. Those are the kind of things you can't know without being, you know, hands-on and working those areas and being on top of those players. That was what the Vikings got wrong on Laquon Treadwell years ago. Laquon Treadwell was one of the highest graded players. He got there and he literally couldn't learn their playbook. And it was not something more complex than just the NFL. Minnesota got there and was like, we missed on the evaluation of how he was going to be able to take to teaching and coaching and things like that. That's why it's important to have like really good scouts who are on top of knowing who these players are and how teachable they are. And that's everything you hear about Guyton, is that he's willing, quick learner, and is completely committed to getting better.
Let's talk about everything else that happened last night during round one of the NFL draft. What happened in the NFC East? And what the hell are the Atlanta Falcons doing? That's next on Sean and RJ.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
All right, that is how things, of course, started off. Chalk early on. Let's talk about the rest of the draft, the NFC East, and the Atlanta Falcons here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby.
Boy, Chop, did you take the parlay? Gray nails for Caleb Williams and crying?
I did not.
The crying
did not.
Was like, wasn't the crying, it was like, does he cry no minus 2,000? Like, I think that was... Yeah. And Gray was not the favorite for the nails. You could have.
Did he cry?
He did. Yeah. Like they cut. You didn't see it initially, but they cut to a replay, and he's like wiping his eyes, which I think should count. I don't know how they how the sports book rules that. But
the early things I was following was what was Eminem going to do? They had him out there to start
it's
off.
Sad, man.
What?
It's just sad watching old Eminem.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
What was sad about it?
Just the like.
Bassick brought up the best point.
Just the corny like. Energy of like, yeah, come on, Detroit. It's like, dude, you're like aging to being like a like an upstanding like former rapper. Like you don't have to hold on to I'm angry 32 years old and like, oh, I still want to beat Kim up. And like,
no, that was Bassick's question. He goes, how tough is it? How much energy do you think it takes for Eminem to act angry all the time?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, do you think he's acting? And he's like, yeah. He's like, so I was just trying to like picture like smiling. Jolly Eminem behind the scenes.
It's you know, it's like Marvelous Marvin Hagler. You know, he said it's really easy to get up at 4 a.m. to train when you ain't sleeping in silk sheets. You know, like in Eminem, you know, when he started, there was a, you know, and this happens to, I'm sure, a lot of guys that are in certain industries that, you know, you start one way where you don't have a whole lot. Then all of a sudden you have a whole lot and it's kind of hard to keep the same energy that you used to have.
And then the world was wondering whether Roger Goodell was going to hug everyone because he had back surgery 3 weeks ago. And he did. He did execute the hugs.
The button decision from Roger Goodell. That was a very open chest for Roger Goodell. It was an interesting choice. He had that lidocaine patch walk all night, though.
All right, let's go to the chalk. Yes, he did. Jaden Daniels. Was he trying to scare off the Commanders? The Commanders were not scared away. They take the LSU quarterback at number 2, and Bobby is applauding.
Yep. Bust. I just do not believe in Jaden Daniels.
He looks like his whole body looks like Bryce Young. He's like a taller Bryce Young when I'm watching him.
Yeah,
he runs more than Bryce, but I'm just talking about like body type. I'm like, okay.
I mean, he's thin.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things that we were talking about it last night. The Commanders are like, got to get offensive line, got to get offensive line. It's like, yeah, you do, because you got to make sure that people don't hit that guy. Like, there is a sincere chance of breaking down. What's funny is he started at Arizona State. We were talking about this last night. Ricky Pearsall from Florida gets drafted by the 49ers at the back end. And now everybody's like, oh, is that because they're trading Ayuk?
Yeah. Debo and Ayuk have been trending since last night. That Debo is going to be gone.
2019, how did Herm Edwards screw up Arizona State football team with freshman quarterback Jaden Daniels throwing to Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah, it was – they had a squad. I mean, they had a squad. I haven't studied tape on Jaden Daniels. I watched a lot of them in college.
Well.
But this scares the hell out of me. It's because they have an upside. We don't know. We could say what we know. We don't know. So either they have a quarterback, and this is my philosophy.
Well, Drake may have scared you too. Everyone has an upside, except for J.J. McCarthy.
Any quarterback that was drafted would have scared me because it's an upside from what they have currently. So either Jaden Daniels hits and that's scary, or he misses big time and that's scary because they'll just get a high pick.
Drake May to the New England Patriots at 3. Marvin Harrison, who did not sign his licensing deal, so he's not in the new Madden video game. A lot of smoke around Marvin Harrison. A lot of Caleb Williams.
That's gun residue, right?
He's got that big car wash money. It's big car wash
Dude,
money.
Dude, Bassick on the mic last night. Oh, my God. That should have been a live stream. He was talking about Jerry Jones, and then he said, Marvin Harrison Jr., whose dad was a killer. And I gasp, and I grab Mike, and he goes, on the field. And I'm like, man. Bassett, he was magnificent. Nice. He was incredible.
Nice.
And then, Bobby, you said he would be gone quick. Joe Alt off the board to the Chargers at number 5.
Yeah, but that was still surprising to all of us because Joe Alt had been a name you had heard tied to the Chargers the whole time. But it was the late push, including from somebody like Daniel Jeremiah, who is the Chargers radio broadcaster and everything else, was J.C. Latham. J.C. Latham. That's the tackle that they want. So when Alt went and they didn't trade out of the pick, that was when the draft started for us. Draft starts at 5. What do the Chargers do? Do they bail out? Yeah. If they take a player, who are they taking? How does it, you know, push dominoes down and change everything up? And so that was a little surprise to me. But he is, if you want to talk about like a handful of guys in there who it's like, safe. You can feel good that that's going to be a good player, not a lot of bust potential.
Right, just like Chase Young,
Joe
safe.
Alt. No, I mean, Chase Young was there. There were issues with Chase Young that you could look at and say it's possible. Alt is going. I don't know that Alt is ever going to be a top five tackle in the NFL, but he's not going to be a black hole. Like his margin for error is just, it's not very big.
Speaking of the Chargers,
Justin Herbert trade talks last night, apparently.
Yes, sir.
That surfaced. I don't know if it wasn't technically last night. It was at the combine and over the last couple of weeks.
Adam Schefter saying that the Patriots and Vikings inquired.
Good for them.
Quickly denied.
Good for them for asking. I mean, you don't know. You know, she ain't going to say yes if you don't ask. But, I mean, look, even if the Chargers wanted to get rid of him, they would have owed so much money in cap charges, $63 million this year alone.
That's cap.
Just to move on from him, and then you're going to move on to a player that, yeah, I mean.
What if you tell Harbaugh, all right, we can trade him, we can get a boatload, and draft you McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, he said McCarthy to him is best quarterback in the draft, better than Caleb Williams. He got asked about him last night in his press conference about J.J. McCarthy, which is a little weird. Like, talk to us about what the Vikings did. I get the connection, but he said last night, he was like, that's where J.J. wanted to go, was Minnesota. He's like, I knew that's where he wanted to go, so I'm happy for him. My favorite quote last night from Harbaugh, boy, it's so good to have Harbaugh back in the NFL. Yes. It's better. He had said he sat down and they picked an offense.
Yesterday we played Peyton Manning, he didn't let McCarthy go to Peyton's camp because he couldn't miss one day of practice.
Couldn't miss one day of practice, yep.
They traded Keenan Allen, like Austin Eckler's gone. Like they don't have a ton of weapons for Justin Herbert. So he sat down at his presser last night. He said, I know the question is going to come up about weapons. The offensive line is a weapon. When we talk about attacking an offense, offensive line is the tip of the spear. I love that he just sits down and goes like, I know they want to ask about weapons, so I'll just get ahead of this. Offensive line's a weapon, baby.
To the New York Giants, a lot of people were wondering about quarterback. A lot of people thought that Malik Nabers was going to go ahead of Marvin Harrison. Nabers goes to the Giants from LSU.
That dude is really, really good. He also has – one of the things you started hearing a little bit about during the draft process as it went along was just there are questions about maturity and some off-the-field stuff with Nabers. And so, really good player. But I mean, I think there is some question about like, okay, is this Odell Beckham? Is this another LSU receiver that you're going to pick and comes in here and is a little bit difficult to manage? So, I mean, he's really good though. It's just, it'd be nice if they had somebody to throw him the ball.
And that's the thing. To me, this could have been scary. They could have taken a quarterback, but this is a great pick for me because I don't believe in Daniel Jones and I don't think they got any better now because he can't throw. He can't play.
Well, now
it's KP.
Let's move on down to the story of the night. At number 8, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr. And my pluckers, and I'm sure every other pluckers that we covered, along with the entire sports world, exploded.
Exploded. A what? A whoa? A are you kidding me?
We covered this. We brought this up. Adam Schefter, credit. Adam Schefter brought that up in his notes a couple of days ago because Michael Lombardi is like, oh, the Atlanta Falcons, because he's destroying them because they killed his boy Belichick and ignored him. And he's like, why would you ever question the great Atlanta Falcons and everything they do? Well, they're being questioned right now. Any way to spin it and justify this?
Yeah, that they took a look at Kirk's ankle and they're like, this ain't it.
Oh.
How does he pass the physical to sign him?
Great question. I don't know.
Do you really trust physicals like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's it. That's the only thing I can think of.
I thought it did.
The only thing I can think of is this the Green Bay Packer approach?
Yeah, but like the whole point
that
we've always
applauded the Packers for.
But you've had that guy in your building for 15 years. You just paid a guy. It was a month ago you paid this dude.
It was a month ago you paid him. And Michael Penix then won't start until he's 28 years old.
Bam.
That's a problem. Like that's a big issue. That means you're going to get The whole point of a rookie quarterback is the contract. It's not the play, it's the contract, and they just lost it. This is an organization first of all, they're 5 games over .500 over the last 20 years. That's with, whether you like Matt Ryan or not, borderline Hall of Fame quarterback play for half that time.
Yes.
All right, and in the last four drafts.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, in the last four drafts, they've spent top 10 picks on a running back, tight end, and a quarterback they don't need. That is a poverty franchise.
They deserve it. I don't know because I know you're at Pluckers and everything else. Did you see the statement from Kirk's agent?
Yeah.
Which was, it's Mike McCartney, not Mike McCarthy. It's Mike McCartney, the agent.
Paul's brother.
Yes, it was a big surprise. We had no idea this was coming. The truth is the whole league had no idea this was coming. We got no heads up. Kirk got a call from the Falcons when they were on the clock. That was the first we heard. It never came up in any conversation. He added, there are 250,000 fans in Detroit tonight. I got 250,000 texts tonight. So they're unhappy. I don't understand what you're doing. Why did you pay him? This just doesn't make sense to me. No. I'm not saying you shouldn't pay Kirk Cousins. And I'm not saying you shouldn't draft Michael Penix eighth overall, but I am saying I don't know why you would pay Kirk Cousins and draft Michael Penix eighth overall, a guy with massive injury concerns who needs to kind of play right now.
Yeah, he's old. He's too old.
He's 33 years old. He needs to play right now.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, Atlanta was in a position when they went into the offseason, they knew that Michael Penix was going to be there at eight. They right?
Yeah.
They absolutely knew.
Yeah.
Or they knew that one of the quarterbacks was going to be there. They didn't need to sign Kirk Cousins if they really wanted to hone in on Michael Penix.
Yeah.
They could have just avoided this all the entire time.
And I could maybe justify this for them if they got Penix at the end of last night or early today and was like, we'll keep him, we'll hold him.
At eight,
and we'll give him up for a mid-round first. Yeah. But they did it at eight.
At eight, he's got to play.
Like, you're never going to trade him. You're never going to deal him for something better than eight.
No. Yo, he's got to play.
Like, by all accounts, this is an all-time stupid move. By all accounts. This makes zero sense.
It's not like Cousins is going to have trade value in a year. We're going to be like, oh, we'll just move Kirk. And
the only way they
can
salvage this is if Cousins gets hurt. That's it. Kirk is gone for the year like last year, you know, and Penix goes in there. That's the only way. It's like they almost have to root for Cousins to get hurt in order to salvage this and not look stupid.
I have no idea what. I don't understand the thought process. And I know a couple people in Atlanta.
Well.
Like, I had texted last night, a few of them just like,
yo. Lemon pepper wings? Lemon pepper Lou?
No. I was like, how's everything over there tonight? And somebody texted back and they're like, need a stiff drink. And it was not like off, but I'll tell you what. I said it last night right after the pick. I said, this is the most shocked I've been by a pick since Jalen Smith got taken at 34.
You were shocked by that?
Jalen Smith? With a blown out knee, when everybody was talking about he would go completely undrafted. Yeah, that was stunning to me.
All right, what did the Eagles do? And if you heard 5:30, you may want to hear 6:40 on what Micah Parsons thought about the Cowboys' newest player. That's next on 105.3 The Fan. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, especially if you stuck with us throughout this entire week with the late night Mavs and Stars drops, beginnings, whatever you want to call it. And, of course, last night, round one of the NFL draft on this radio station. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt with the recaps.
Do you regret at all going home instead of sleeping here?
No.
Because you would have probably gotten, an extra hour of sleep?
Yeah, but Peyton slept here.
We've been buddies. And you know who else slept here?
Who?
The great 8-time Hall of Famer, C.A.
He did?
Yeah, apparently he's doing radio interviews this morning for the Mavs or something. He was like, why would I, you know, go home when I can just stay here and do them?
Chris Arnold slept here?
Yeah, he was right
there. That shames me a little bit.
He was until one, though.
A man is a Hall of Famer.
But
three-time now. He's the three-time Hall of Famer. Yeah.
No, because I had my wife there the entire time. I was able to not just get dropped off, but I was like, all right, because thank you, Armando. He was my saving grace. He came to chill with Amanda, so they were old high school buddies, so that kept her there longer, because otherwise she does not care. She does not want to understand. She has no interest in the draft, and thank you to the in-laws as well. And I walked into my living room, and there was Bobby Belt and company on my television screen as they were watching the YouTube.
They could hear me?
They could hear you?
They could hear me on the broadcast?
Yeah, I mean... I barely could.
Oh,
driving home, I'm sitting there listening to him. Like, what's wrong with Bobby's microphone? Y'all are in this little get ready. I'll get myself banned off the draft show for all time after saying this.
There we go.
Y'all in this little tight room. I was like, was it all that squenched up when I was doing that forever? But I was like, all y'all are piled on top of each other. Your audio sounds off. I don't know what was going on. The microphones, the where's TMP?
I'll tell you what was off. I'll tell you what was
R.I.P.
off.
R.I.P. TMP.
R.I.P. TMP.
I've never heard this man with more stress in his voice than giving cues last night.
Pepe?
Yeah. 10 seconds.
Guys, we're coming back.
Well, the first hour, apparently, ID. Zach couldn't hear me. I was telling him to go to break, and you know, just, everyone's talking. Yeah, everyone's talking over
each
other.
You got to text Zach if you want to get a hold of him.
No, it's Instagram DMs.
That's right, DM.
No.
Yeah, DMs.
So you're saying it was much more chaotic without me there, Peyton?
Yeah, I wanted Sean back.
You know, we go to the stream side. Like, when we go to commercial on the station, we go to the stream side, and we keep talking, right? So we go to the stream side for the very first break, and it's like... Right off the car, not the kid. Like, still blaring in my headphones. Like, I'm texting Peyton. I'm like, Peyton, I still hear, like, all the commercials.
Yeah.
And then Peyton's just, like, talking down my go, like, can you hear it now? Can you hear it now? It's like, I can't answer you.
And I really do like the audio peeps behind the scenes, DallasCowboys.com. I don't know who's
Chris Beam is a badass. I love Chris
Beam. But I don't know. I didn't love it last night. And what I heard and some of the replays this morning.
Was it some of the takes or...
No, I didn't listen long enough. I walked in the living room. I saw Bobby. I said, I see enough of him, in-laws. Shut that S down. Get it off. It's time to go to bed.
Keep your voice down.
Keep your voice down. All right, let's get to the secret audio that took place. This is how the Cowboys informed Tyler Guyton that he was their guy.
Hey, Tyler.
10.
Hey, what's up?
Tyler, this is Jerry Jones.
Nice to meet you, Jerry. What's up?
Hey, man. Listen, I just wanted to... be maybe the first to tell you, you are no longer a Sooner. You're a Dallas Cowboy.
Oh, my God.
Still a Sooner.
And we're proud to have you.
Thank you, Coach. Oh, my God.
Well, we sure are proud. And my coach is sitting right here. Our coach is sitting right here. But we really are consensusly. And your position coach is sitting there. He's a great guy. You met him. We're glad to have you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right, Tom, here you go.
Hey, Tyler, Mike McCarthy. Hey, congratulations, man.
Thank you so much,
coach. Hey, where are you right now? You home with the...
In Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas.
Oh, you're back in Austin. Well, I know you and your dad are fired up. You just bring that big smile, that personality here, man. All right.
Oh, my God. Let's go.
All right. Hey, I'm going to pass along. You got a bunch of people who want to give you some love. Congrats. So excited to have you here.
Thank you.
All right, my man. Here, hold on again.
Tyler, Mike Solari. Hey, congratulations. Man, excited to work with you. We are excited to have you being a Cowboy. And I know your dad's fired up.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to call you a little bit later, and it's a bit more quieter. But, again, congratulations.
What's up?
You celebrate, and you have a great celebration, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Who made a bigger impression on the Cowboys coaching staff, do you think? Tyler Guyton or his dad? Since every one of them was like, we know your dad, that giant Cowboys fan. I know he's pumped. Everything else, the every single one of them clearly got the impression of dad is going to be the one who's really excited about you landing here.
Let's get to the reaction of Micah Parsons, who was doing some things for Bleacher Report. Him and C.J. Stroud were going viral early yesterday with, like, the perfect offense versus the perfect defense.
Yeah, you're looking at one. You've never seen a killer. You're looking at one.
Micah said you ain't never seen a killer, and C.J.'s like, you're looking at one. I really like C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud is so – I'm so glad people are missing on him.
Man.
Because that dude – nobody took more pre-draft slander in the history of this thing than C.J. Stroud. I'm thrilled
that
he's doing
it. Can't take an Ohio State quarterback.
It wasn't even that. It was like, oh, he's dumb. He can't process. Look, we've got all this. This is a bulletproof test, and he failed it, so you can't take him.
Was that the Wonderlic? Is that
No. It's the
other one.
It's this one about like processing, like mental processing, and how quickly you see shapes or something.
I've seen some data that like the quarterbacks who do well in the Wonderlic generally succeed, or I'm sorry, ones that don't do well generally don't succeed. But I've not seen a study on the other test, but Adam Lefko is everywhere now.
I know.
He parlayed one WWE news call in Louisville into this. Meanwhile, I got fired from the Legends for doing the same thing.
What, Bobby?
Just speaking of WWE, did you see the stupid Tony Khan thing last night?
No.
Oh, yeah.
He got dropped through a table on WWE. He is in the war room last night wearing a neck brace.
Wearing a neck brace. Like he's the attorney, Bill Murray's attorney character in Wild Things, ripping that thing off of the courtroom.
Bassick is on the mic last night going, I know Jacksonville. I talked to Tony Khan. I talked to Tony Khan the other day. So who wants to make the Jaguars pick? Here's Micah Parsons reacting to the Cowboys picking Tyler Guyton.
I'm not mad at the pick. I think Guyton was like my fourth guy, as I said earlier in the show.
I think this is a productive pick. Obviously, losing on Tyron Smith, we need more depth out there on that left tackle. So I think it's very interesting. We still got a lot of room. I think he has some great guys to look after. You got Tyler Smith, who could give him, who critiques Zach Martin. We still got some veteran leadership, Terrence Steele bouncing back. So I like the pick. It's not a bad pick. We picked up depth. We needed O-line help, and we went and got him in the first round. And I'm never going to question Will McClay and what he's done. I mean, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Tyler Smith. I mean, he really hasn't missed in this department. So I agree with the pick, and I like it.
None of that sounds bad, guys.
No. Sounds great. It sounds like it was, like, I don't know, 5 minutes after the initial reaction.
I think you should see when he hears the news. I think it's just important to see his face.
Look, he's retweeted it.
He's a defensive guy. He wants defensive players. But, again,
he was excited about Mozzie last
year. I was
about
to say, if he doesn't love the pick, he was, yeah, no more quarterback sneaks, AJ, and, like, was freaking out, and then it – didn't work out. So, I mean, ultimately, it's whatever. But, I mean, here's what I'll say. He clearly just probably wanted somebody on his side of the ball. He wanted a defensive player. That's the type of guy that these guys are competitors. They want guys on their side of the ball.
Chop, you sounded like you wanted to talk about this when we started the show.
I mean, maybe Mike is just a jerk. Maybe Mike is just a bad
teammate. You didn't like his
How much you paid for that?
You didn't like his initial body
The initial body language looked like he hated it.
It did.
Like, that's your teammate, man.
That was a really bad look.
That's your teammate. And that's why Mike is a bad teammate. And that's why, you know, I mean, everybody who's got an opinion, it came at the fan, it came at all of us a couple of weeks ago when you said that stuff about Micah, that maybe, you know, they're tired of Micah over there. Because that video is what they're tired of.
Ryan, see if you can get, there's two different clips. There's Micah and what we played, because there's nothing wrong with what he played, but you got to see the initial reaction.
Body language does matter. Now, look, I don't think it's, I hate Tyler Guyton. I hate it. It's not like that.
Let me try to defend Micah for a second, play devil's advocate. Should we give him props for, like, giving us this real reaction, or he just shouldn't be doing this,
or maybe don't do it
position?
Yeah, I don't care if he goes on those things. I mean, he's got to, because his podcast is on Bleacher Report, right?
He's got to deal with
it. He's got to deal with it. I have no problem with that, man. Make your money, do what you got to do, but you got to know that you're,
like, his eyes are rolling out of his head when they did it, and he's side-eyeing like, I can't believe we just did this.
It's a terrible look. That's your teammate. I mean, whether you want him to be your teammate or not, nobody asked. And nobody with the Cowboys asked your opinion on whether or not you want them to take Tyler Guyton or Kool-Aid McKinstry. Nobody asked your opinion on that.
Here it is on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
And so here comes the pick, and then his arms go up in the air, and he just looks. Look at that. He looks distraught. He looks as distraught that the Cowboys took Tyler Guyton as he did.
As the Falcons took Penix.
He looked as disgusted as when the Eagles took Mitchell, because he's like, oh, man, that's a good player. Yeah. Like, he looks disgusted here. And that's a terrible, terrible look. And for everybody who went at Sean, like, maybe this is your cue to stay in your lane, to quote the world philosopher LeVar Ball. Just stay in your lane and let us do what we do.
Here's the thing. There's times you don't get the present you want on your birthday. But when your kid doesn't get the present they want, you're like, be thankful.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, act like you like the gift. Don't be ungrateful. This is a bad look. Like,
look at him.
That is one of the reasons.
He's laying back over the chair like, why?
So, I get it. He's like a lot of fans, right? Fans don't like offensive linemen to get picked because you can't draft them in your fantasy league. I understand that. It's boring. Any team that takes an offensive lineman generally, A, doesn't live to regret it, and B, has fans that are like, this is boring. I get it. I'm the same way.
Look, if they would have taken who Micah wanted to take last night, there's probably people on the offensive side of the ball at home, Cowboys players, going, we needed offensive
line. Who did he like? Do we know?
I know he had talked about who he wanted. I didn't see who he had said leading up to it. But it's one of those where they're going to want that. It's just, don't show it. Just keep that inside. You know, don't cry out loud, as a famous philosopher once said.
877-881-1053 is the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. Do we have a problem with a Dallas Stars fan banging on the glass? And do we have a big man problem for the Dallas Mavericks tonight? All that plus our final Rangers ticket giveaway of the week for you. Turning it on, leaving it on next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.